Thank you, Livy. And I'd like to say welcome to Jack Layton, and thank you very much for taking the time to travel out west here to talk to us, Jack. It's not very often that workers get consulted on what our views might be, and most often we have to fly back to where the powers that be are in order to even attempt to get some sort of a hearing. So we do very much appreciate you coming here. I'm sure it doesn't seem like such a burden on a day like today.
It's always sunny when I come here.
Hey.
I think it's
not always that way, but today it's a lovely day. The Vancouver District Labour Council, broadly speaking, represents 117 local unions, Vancouver, Richmond, Burnaby, and the North Shore up to Squamish. We have 65,000 affiliated members in our council. I guess we'd have to say and openly admit that we're by no means economic experts or experts on the federal budget. However, we do participate in the alternative federal budget exercise, and we have found that to be an incredibly useful and productive exercise that has allowed ordinary workers like ourselves and ordinary citizens to actually participate in what the dynamics of creating a budget are, including the responsibilities on the revenue side and not just the expenditure side. And a lot of our ideas have been gleaned from that, and we are in broad support of the conclusions that have been drawn by that alternative federal budget. But for the purposes of today, and for you asking what the Vancouver District Labour Council or workers in Vancouver might be particularly concerned about, I picked six issues that I think are important. First is, I'd like to talk a bit about adequate financing for public services. I'd like to talk about support for workers and their families. I'd like to talk about reducing poverty and homelessness. I'd like to talk about protecting the environment. I'd like to talk about fair taxation. And I'd like to talk about protecting pension and retirement benefits. In general, overall, we see that there's an urgent need, given the fiscal regime that we've been operating under for the last 10 or more years, for increased public spending on public programs. We've suffered serious cutbacks over those years, and programs have really suffered, and it is showing every day in the work that we do and what we see in our communities and on the streets. We think that the tax cuts that have been implemented over the years have been a mistake, and we think running up huge budget surpluses are counterproductive to what the purpose of collecting the taxes was for in the first place. On the issue of adequate financing for public services, the first point I'd like to make is that we think it's extremely important, especially for workers like ourselves, to talk about the issue of respect for workers who work in the public sector. It's become kind of a current trend in public government, etc., to attack public sector workers as if they do not perform a valuable service, and somehow or other society benefits by eliminating them, or by constraining them, reducing or deteriorating their working conditions. And this has been part of parcel of what is the public sector has had to suffer over the years of these kind of budget constraints. This has had extremely negative effects on the workers who are actually public servants attempting to do a job on behalf of all of us for society. And it has deteriorated a lot of the services which they attempt to deliver. It made it very, very difficult to find solutions. The most popular public services that people and the population want and are willing to defend and fight for, and they have been fighting for them against incredible odds of people wanting to reduce them, health care and education. They're the ones that are on the public agenda, and I'm not really going to go into great detail on those things other than to say that we're looking for things like guaranteed standards that can be delivered across this country and that it remains a public delivery of this service. We want to point to as well the necessity to renew our public infrastructure. Sometimes this one gets lost. I noticed Ivan Bulik talked a bit about sewers, but we also have public transportation systems which are in desperate need of financing. We have to look at increasing support for municipalities, because I'm of the belief now, and I think many people in the labor movement are, is that there is an increased focus on the importance of municipal and local government. We live in an era of globalization where every day it seems decisions are being removed farther and farther away from us, and even from our governments, our provincial government and our federal government. It always seems to be somewhere else, the power and the decision making. In local government, we actually really do get to get hands-on on some important issues, and that's an important area of government which we think citizens can really participate and influence. The problem is they have responsibilities, but they have no financing. And we really, I know there's a discussion about financing, and I was in Winnipeg when Paul Martin did promise some of the gas tax for municipalities. But we have to look for ways that there can be brought in some steady financing for municipalities so that they can start to make plans to improve our communities in some ongoing way. We also think when we're talking about health care, we've got to look at where some of the costs are getting out of control, because they're impacting workers in other ways as well. And I'm talking particularly about drug costs. Drug costs have increased and spiraled so out of control that a lot of unions, extended health and welfare plans that we're running, have faced premium increases in the neighborhood of 30, 40, 50% a year. It's very, very difficult to run these programs and to provide this as an insurance service at reasonable cost to workers when these drug costs are allowed to get out of control. We lay a lot of blame for this at the foot of Brian Mulroney. He did allow drug companies to extend patent rights. It did increase costs. In my mind, there's no doubt about that. But we need to look at some creative solutions, including the possibility of a national drug plan or other ways that we can control these costs and get them brought under some sort of meaningful system where we can live with those costs and we can, in fact, afford to purchase them and to pay for them. Second point I'd like to talk about is support for workers and their families. And under these kinds of issues, I think we need to see a commitment to fair wages and adequate working conditions for workers. Particularly, I'd point once again in the public sector, which has been under a regime of extreme parsimoniousness. There's been some workers that haven't had a wage increase in 10 years in the public sector, and that's really unacceptable given that everybody's costs are increasing all the time. They're taking wage cuts on behalf of all of us, and that really shouldn't happen. It seems almost to be something wrong that workers might actually receive a fair wage for the work that they're done. Well, in fact, when we look at it, it is really a benefit for our community. The wages that people earn go into our communities and pay for the services and the things that go on in our community. And I think we have to be upfront about that, that workers are entitled to fair wages and conditions. We also look at the abuse that we've seen over the years, and it's a well-known one, of the Employment Insurance Program. Workers pay for that program. They pay for it out of their earnings. And their employers, through their employment, pay for it as well. And yet workers are not able to access the benefits which they paid for. And a surplus of approximately, I hear, $60 billion has been created in that account. This is an incredible abuse of workers and workers' rights. It leads to poverty in our communities, and I'm going to talk a bit about poverty and how we're going to fix that. And certainly having an adequate a social safety net that includes benefits for people which they paid for in premiums when they lose their jobs is an important part of it. We think at the very least, the revenue that is paid into the program each year should be spent in benefits. There should be some sort of balance between that revenue and the benefits that are paid out. What we've seen over the years is that the EI program has become so restrictive that hardly anybody qualifies for it anymore. In fact, less than 30% of people who would have qualified in previous years currently qualify. And that's really a shame. That's an abuse, and it really has to be corrected. I don't think there's any defense for it. We think we need to see support also for working mothers and working women. There's been proposals and talk on and off about a national daycare program or early childhood education programs that would assist these workers. Not much has ever come out of that, but certainly it is very, very important that, especially for the early years of children, that there's got to be some resources there for them. It's one of the biggest determinants in success in later years is what happens to children in their early years. And we're seeing too much childhood poverty, and we really got to work on that. And one of the best ways we can do that is to support the workers who are actually out there trying to earn the living every day to pay for it. And we're not doing a good enough job on that. We need to reduce poverty and homelessness. You just have to walk around any major city anywhere in Canada, and you'll see the poverty. Why are they there? Well, we've cut off any support or benefits to any of them. They've got nowhere else to go but to live on the street, to indulge in petty crime or whatever it takes to live. And who could blame them? because that's where we put them. If we had improved EI benefits, if we had a welfare system that people actually could access, if we had housing that was affordable for people, we would be going a long way to eliminating what is a serious cultural problem. We also want to talk about protecting the environment. Workers don't often get into this area, but I definitely want to make our statement in this area. We believe the environment's important. It's a health and safety issue, not just for workers, but for our whole community. We support the Kyoto Accord, and we look for just transition for workers in that process, but we're willing to accept what the changes that might come from that. We also believe that we need tougher penalties for corporations and the people that destroy our environment. We believe in fair taxation. Workers are prepared to go out and argue to our members and to our communities that taxes are fair. Mm-hmm. Taxes are the way we should be looking to pay for public services. We never question the private price of service or of products, but it has become very current to denounce taxes as being something that is negative. They are not negative. And to try to introduce the idea that the private sector can deliver these services more efficiently flies in the face of every major study that's been done on things like healthcare. It is delivered most efficiently, most effectively in the public sector. And the cost, the cost is entirely reasonable, and it is best funded through taxation. We need to defend that taxation. We should be taxing things like capital gains and money that is made by doing nothing. We need to increase basic exemptions for people too, so that the taxes that we're actually taxing the wrong people. We're taxing the people who don't have the money to live, and we're letting the people who have all the money get all of the gains. We're introducing too many fees and flat taxes and services that hit harder at the poor and increase the poverty. The last thing I want to talk about is something that doesn't probably appear anywhere else, but I think it's a growing and important issue, and I'd like to flag it for you, Jack, and that's retirement security. I think that there is a brewing disaster on the horizon here, and I'm talking about workers who are being forced to participate in RRSP and defined contribution systems, whereas individuals, they're expected to swim as minnows around the sharks in our financial system, running around looking for how they can find some way to adequately build up a paltry sum of money into something that's going to protect them during their retirement. The truth of the matter is, they are being fed to death, they're being abused, and they're being fed on by a financial system that has created this system. Workers are best protected by public pension plans and by defined benefit plans that are jointly trusted, including workers and companies, and there should be more emphasis on having those kind of plans. They deliver the goods in the end. They deliver a pension to people. A defined contribution plan or an RRSP, you can have $100,000, and when you come out to get income, if interest rates are at 5%, you get $5,000 a year. Another individual with the same amount of money, $100,000, can come out 2 years later, and when they're looking for their income to live on, and interest rates are 10%, they get $10,000 a year. There is no certainty there. There is no equity there, but it is what we are looking at, and we're looking at it big time in a few years, and this is going to be a disaster. I think that corporations have heaped abuse upon us. I'm a pension trustee, and I know that the companies that we're limited to putting our investments in and the kinds of operations and the things that they operate under, and I'll just point to one, multiple voting shares, for example, which is a Canadian creation, not allowed in the United States, is exactly at the center of the current Hollinger problem, where they use that multiple voting share structure to not produce a result on behalf of shareholders, of which pensions invest in, but to produce fees for Conrad Black and his cronies. And that's an abuse. If we have to participate in this public stock market system in order to have adequate pensions, we need protection on some of these major things, and we need a fair playing ground. Those are the things that I flagged, and I thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Very comprehensive.
Yeah, that was excellent.
Thank you.